Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
So the NutriMedical Report, we have one of my favorite guests of a couple of years ago, and he'll be back on regularly now, Mark Lerner, L-E-R-N-E-R, from the Constitutional Alliance. And you and your company that are doing this research are details people. Now, I'm a details person. I like to ask questions. But when you ask these questions and you get the answers, you need to be sitting down. You need to have your tray table in the upright and locked position, because some of the answers are scary as heck. One of the things you mentioned just in the break that I want you to get into is the idea that the digital fingerprints are even used in states to get driver's license is based on Russian software. So in a sense, there's no evidence to prove otherwise that there may not be a back door from the software for people that use the Russian digital software for fingerprinting that actually is going back to Russia. Right? And that's just one of the many aspects of the so-called national ID. Now, after 9/11, and during George Bush's reign in office for two terms, the national ID program came in. It was never really discussed openly too much in the open media during Barack Obama, but behind the scenes, you guys were filing lawsuits and filing actions, and I think you have an open forum coming up soon. But people need to realize our civil liberties, but also our religious liberties, are in grave danger because of the technology and its misapplication against human ID. So I'd like you to get into the details of what you've been doing for the number of years, where all this is going, and the ugly facts behind this.
Okay, let me start with this. Going back 15 years, the people involved in the Constitutional Alliance, a group that I co-founded, became very concerned about biometrics. Now, biometrics, you typically think of fingerprinting, facial recognition, iris scans, DNA, etc. We warned people 15 years ago that biometrics were not an issue at just the state, local, or federal level. This was a global initiative. And we told people, we gave them all the quotes and links. People like Julian Ashbourne, who was head of the International Biometric Foundation, quoted that we need a global agency with global powers. We have argued since the Real ID Act in 2005 that the standard for collecting and retaining and sharing biometrics, those standards are all international. They come from the ISO. They were developed by or adopted by the International Civil Aviation Organization. So when we talk about a national ID, we need to think also about a global ID. Because
right.
Once your biometrics are captured, they can be shared globally with any other country in the world. And the telecommunication networks to share biometrics globally already exist.
Now, what I've heard, and this is pretty solid, it's not like my, it's a fact, that by 2020, the national ID in one form or other and the state IDs are all going to be compliant with this global ID pattern, which means your ID is not just a state or national ID, and it'll be required to travel and do all kinds of things, go into federal buildings, etc. So people need to understand the compliance process is to make us compliant with a global ID system. Now, I see the convergence of cryptocurrencies and biometrics as being right out of the Bible, the mark of the beast. And it means your religious liberties, your geopolitical liberties are in grave danger, because if they're tracking all your actions, in fact, believe it or not, Amazon's talked about the idea of having an analytic system that can analyze all your keystrokes and so on your computer. But they've actually talked openly, not just this one company, but others in Silicon Valley, of having a camera in every room of your house, including your bathroom, to say if you're reading a novel, they'll usually send you video text and so on your television to say, why don't you watch the movie? And the real danger is this: if your comments on social media or at a church or whatever, and everything's being monitored, you literally are living in the matrix. And that's coming pretty quickly. And it's tied to the misuse of biometrics, tied to global currencies, which one form or another, whether it's blockchain or non-blockchain, is the devil. We're talking about the one step by step. And the first black swan of 2018 is crypto. That gyrating currency system we had since last week was on the same day the new Fed chairman was announced for the Fed Reserve. People need to understand that announcement occurred the same day as the stock market gyrating with robo-trading, but it's also concurrent with cryptocurrencies. And, of course, we have everything from net neutrality to this ID stuff is coming to a big head, isn't it?
It is, but I want to go back, and I want people to understand this. The Real ID Act, every state now has passed legislation to become Real ID compliant. Okay? So what we have is a situation where the federal government, under the provision to the Real ID Act, can require a person to provide a compliant license. Right now it's currently to enter a nuclear facility, to enter some federal buildings, but also to be able to fly commercially. Now, to have this Real ID compliant license and fly commercially, that will begin being enforced in 2020. But under the Real ID Act provisions, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, at his or her discretion, can add additional what we call official purposes. There is already legislation that's been introduced in Congress. One is the Photo Identification Security Act. This act would require biometric ID to be able to conduct financial transactions.
Are you kidding? Well, that could be tied to cryptocurrencies, like the IRS in November won a lawsuit against the company in San Francisco with one of the IDs of 14,533, roughly, people. And the European Commission on Finance, basically a month ago, made the same kind of statement. They want all the identifications of cryptocurrency transfers so they can avoid currency manipulation or tax fraud. So
this is much bigger in scope than just cryptocurrencies.
I know that. It's much bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, please continue.
The second piece of legislation that people need to be aware of is called the Legal Workforce Act. What the Legal Workforce Act requires is you have to provide your biometrics before you'll be able to work. And if you're currently working, your employer would have to ensure that they had your biometrics. Now, what people don't understand, and I do want to go into the weeds on this one issue, AMVA, which is called the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, has created a new platform that allows states and the federal government and corporations to share information. This platform is called S2S. In other words, state to state. But it allows for federal government agencies and departments and corporations to have access as well. So what we have here is a situation where our ability to buy, sell, travel, and work is all being tied to our biometric identification. And to give people an idea of how serious this is, the FBI maintains a database. It's called Next Generation Identification, NGI. In that database, they focus specifically on biometrics, fingerprinting, facial recognition, iris scans, voice recognition, etc. Currently, one out of every two American adults is in their what we call facial recognition database. So many American citizens that have never committed a crime, their photograph is in the FBI's NGI database.
Whoa. And, of course, you know now, you've heard of Five Eyes. When we come back, we'll talk about how this data goes everywhere else, too. Outside the country, we'd be spied on by foreign agents, like Mr. Non-Man of Steel, involved with... Website, by the way, if people want to know, is constitutionalalliance.org. That's C-O-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-I-O-N-A-L Alliance, A-L-L-I-A-N-C-E.org. And there's some articles here that are particularly scary. You better be sitting down. Global ID is here, the World Bank and UN, that first article. Second is Update 2012-2016-17. That's just last Christmas, day after Christmas. Urgent French company. Russia biometrics, right? And then, of course, it says August, total global biometric enrollment. The USA and California filed a biometrics lawsuit against the largest biometrics vendor in the world, which is IDEMIA, you mentioned. I'd like you to get into some of these articles because I don't think people realize that all this is happening in the smoke and mirrors of, hey, the economy is doing better, Trump's getting rid of regulations, the tax, you know, and bill that they passed. There's a big battle between the Democrats and Republicans in the sense that smoke and mirrors. These other things are going to overtake us, are much more dangerous than whether the economy is doing good or not, or even if the flu gets worse and gets more deadly. These things are going to be pretty nasty, aren't they, in the near future. The full ID, actually, from what I heard, is actually going to take place in 2 years, by 2020. Isn't that so?
It is. Let me explain to people how serious this is. Okay? When you're not able to work, travel, buy, or sell without providing your biometrics, you have created a surveillance state. That's why we've argued for years that mandated biometric enrollment is the linchpin of a surveillance state.
Right.
To give people an idea of how extensive it is, you can be tracked in public, you can be identified. Biometrics is the linchpin. For instance, if you're driving down the road, the police can identify the owner of the car by running the plates. It will tell the police who is the registered owner of the vehicle. The only way to know who's actually driving the vehicle is through the use of biometrics, like facial recognition. So, same thing's true of people walking into a home. You can tell by going into public records who owns that home. But to know who's actually entering the home, you need facial recognition biometrics. And I want people to really understand this. I have testified all over the country. I've been to Washington, D.C. at hearings. Never has one word that I have said been refuted. If people go to our website, theconstitutionalalliance.org, they will find more links to what we say. In other words, to corroborate what we're saying. This is not a conspiracy theory thing. This is reality. The goal is to have every person on the planet identified by their biometrics. In India, 1.1 billion out of 1.4 billion are already under a program called Aadhaar. Their biometrics are linked to banking, to voting, to a number of other things.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, the three pieces of data I know they have in the Aadhaar system are facial iris scans, facial scans, and digital fingerprints.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Every country understands what biometrics can do for them. It's not a question of stopping terrorism. We certainly would not object to people that have been identified as terrorists being in a biometric database. We don't oppose biometrics when correctional institutions use them or police get a warrant. But what's been happening is the technology is increasing rapidly, far quicker than the law can allow. So there is no law against facial recognition being used to identify people when they're in public. Now,
right.
A perfect example is the 2012 Republican National Convention. Anybody can Google it or they can go on our website, whatever they want to do. The fact is local law enforcement used facial recognition to capture the facial images of people that were supporting Ron Paul. Now, they've also used it at concerts. They've used it at protests. The point is, facial recognition and other biometrics are being used, not just in our country, in China and other countries, to identify people that dissent or don't agree with what their government is doing. And I want people to understand this. Right now in China, they are signing contracts with other countries, okay, that tie your biometrics to your banking. They can scan, and I know people are going to find this hard to believe, 1 billion facial images in a matter of minutes. 1 billion. Now, people are not taking this seriously enough. If you look at the law, the way it reads today, for a law enforcement officer to ask you for your ID, the officer has to provide what's called reasonable suspicion. So unless you committed a crime, you were the victim of a crime, or you witnessed the crime, the officer would have no reasonable suspicion to ask for your identification. We don't live in a paper please state, okay, a surveillance state. What facial recognition allows is the officer to bypass that process, which has been codified by the Supreme Court, reasonable suspicion. Facial recognition allows you to be identified without your knowledge or your consent. So if we reach a point in our country, and other countries are already there, where a majority of the people decide they're not going to allow dissent, they would use facial recognition to identify people who are breaking no laws, simply exercising their right to peacefully assemble, to seek redress of their grievances. It also comes down to your right to freedom of religion. There are a lot of Christians, especially evangelical born-again Christians, that see what's happening to biometrics as a cut and paste of what we read in Revelation 13, 16 through 18.
Right.
Without the mark, you will not be able to buy and sell. Now, we have warned people for 15 years. It's only now that facial recognition is finally getting the attention of Congress.
Let me get something to this. So
control it has been defeated.
Let me tell you something that's even nastier than this. I had above top secret clearance, and at the Virtual World Project at Schriever Air Force Base, they were working on this biometric system, but since then They have terahertz recognition of your bones. And they can recognize you from the scans they're collecting at airports and scan you at 70 miles an hour inside a car and tell you what seat you're in or a drone over your host 500 meters. You know, the companies are opening talk about coming into quantum computing, and you mentioned it, but because I had above top secret clearance in 94, 95, and thereafter for years, the Quay 4 computer was the giant cube underground, was part of what's called the Virtual World Project, or literally from the movie The Matrix. And it was tied to a thing called the Promise Software and identification of everybody on Earth in the first and second world. And they were called a node with everything attached to their database. The eventual plan is to capture all biometric data, facial scans, iris scans, digital fingerprints, even your terahertz bone scan, as I mentioned, the greatest long distance up to 500-700 meters can pick up who you are even in a car at 70 miles an hour. Now, the real thing you scared me with is that they can even do iris capture at a distance now, not just up to the machine. 12, 13 years ago in Canada, the Canadian government allowed people to have rapid access through security if they'll submit to an iris scan. Now, the DNA biochip I saw particularly at the Oak Ridge National Labs in Building 10 in 1999. And they had a DNA biochip at the time. It cost them 42 cents to make each chip. With a micro drop of blood and endonucleases and these micro lasers, they could actually determine your genetics from all other human beings. The first six digits was your DNA haplotype for organ transplant, and there's two other sixes for your genetics of your body, major, minor enzymes, race, etc. And what people don't understand is that I don't know for sure, but I believe that they're capturing data at these terahertz scanners at airports because the most accurate long-distance thing to assess you, even like a drone 500 meters above your host or along the side of a freeway where you're at 70 miles an hour, is a terahertz bone scan. So ID is going crazy, you're right. Now, you mentioned that they thought these companies are announcing they're going to in the future have supercomputers. No. And I can tell you this. They had Seymour Cray developed the DNA biochip, the supercomputer was called the Cray 5 gallium arsenide biochip in 1994. And shortly thereafter, they killed him on Air Force Academy, near Air Force Academy Road. Okay, they had T-barred him and killed him on the spot. The Cray 4 computer had a computing capacity of 100,000 Cray 4 computers, the Cray 5 gallium arsenide, and they thought they were going to have to build a chip in zero gravity in the space station, and he figured out a way of doing it on ground. So if you talk about classified research, they've had the supercomputer capacity since 1994, which is a long time ago. This is 2018, so we're literally looking at 24 years ago. The fact is they actually had created a cybernetic model of Earth, including the what's called the military grade general global positioning system, which has a tolerance down to 1.5 centimeters, including vertical dimensions. So I took care of the employees working there, too, in Colorado Springs, and they actually have a cybernetic model down to a tolerance of every roadway and building and person on Earth, down to a tolerance of 1.5 centimeters. Okay? So you have to understand how bad this is, that they actually have created a cybernetic model of Earth. Just like a Sim City, if you want to call it. And their eventual plan, like you say, is to capture every individual in every country on Earth. And they're getting closer. India and Europe and now America. The national ID was passed during the times of George Bush after 9/11. Nobody's in the public media like Fox News or CNN has really said really much. It's your organization that's actually asking for all these hearings. And this is not a conspiracy theory. Everything on your site can reference specific documents and specific interactions, and you have hearings that are coming forward, too. So I wanted to expand on that, because people have no idea that we're slowly being pushed toward a cybernetic cage that the Bible warned us against is the mark of the beast.
I want people to know, 3 years ago, a California attorney named Dan Bartley filed a lawsuit in California court, okay, district court. Now, it was district court in the United States. This lawsuit was sealed for 2 years. The nexus of the lawsuit was the vendor that the United States government uses for things like U.S. Visit, the NGI database, states use for their driver's licenses, was a French company named Safran. And what the lawsuit alleges, three whistleblowers that worked for Safran or one of its subsidiaries came forward and disclosed that Safran had signed an agreement with a Russian biometric company named Papillon. And that agreement was that the French company would use biometrics from Papillon and sell them to countries such as the United States. Now, these whistleblowers, at great risk to their own lives, came forward. As I said, for 2 years it was sealed, the lawsuit. It was unsealed in 2017, literally months ago. At that time, a reporter, an investigative reporter, Chris Hamby, who had won a Pulitzer Prize already and was being nominated for a second one, he flew to Europe to meet with the whistleblowers. One of them met him, flew in from Russia. He did all the due diligence about what these whistleblowers were alleging. The story was published. It received a lot of attention, but not by mainstream media. It received a lot of attention by law enforcement people and other people. Now, I contacted, I've been in touch with this attorney for before the journalist even started writing about it. If you look at our website, I wrote about this in August of 2017. The journalist published his story in December 2017. I can't tell you which state right now for security reasons, but there will be a hearing in a state legislature where employees of this French company are going to be called to testify about the security, the wisdom of using biometrics. Unlike your credit card numbers, even your Social Security number can be changed, bank account numbers. Your biometrics are yours for life, that you're not going to change your fingerprints. You're not going to change your iris scan, your palm vein geometry, another biometric. It cannot be changed. What we're doing with biometrics is akin, if you had a key to your front door, you wouldn't take that key and spread it all over your front lawn and all over the city you live in. Why? Because that key would open the front door to your home.
Exactly.
Same thing is true with your biometrics. When you tie your biometrics to your ability to buy, sell, travel, and work, and then those biometrics are put in databases, those databases are compromised. And by the way, if people aren't aware of it, the Office of Personnel Management had 21 million people compromised. These are people that are current employees or people that applied to work for the federal government. 5.5 million people out of that 21 million had their fingerprints compromised. They weren't encrypted. So our law enforcement intelligence people went crazy over this because we have a lot of people that work overseas under aliases, and their fingerprints being exposed would reveal their true identity. You do not want your biometrics and databases. And I want to address one other point that you raised. Supercomputers, as we know them today, pale in comparison to quantum computers. Pale. It would be like comparing a Model T Ford to a brand new Lamborghini. There's just no comparison.
It's not just the speed, by the way. It's the computing algorithms now, and the actual structure of computers are changing.
To give you an idea how dangerous this is, a supercomputer does not have the ability to hack databases in the way a quantum computer can.
Right.
A quantum computer can run enough, whatever you want to call it, algorithms or numbers, actually, because...
Month.
Before the break, you had an idea. I want you to continue that idea, that strain of thought, because people need to understand about quantum computing and how dangerous it is. There is no such thing as an algorithm that can't be broken. And if your biometrics are there, it means they can unlock the door of your bank account, can get into actually put social media, can create a false narrative to get you arrested or even killed. This is scary stuff, isn't it?
It is, and I want people to understand, we will be posting this article by Monday or Tuesday next week at the latest, where we get into quantum computers. And we're going to be providing this is from the industry itself. And I want to read you one sentence out of the paper. Quantum computers could one day effectively provide a skeleton key to confidential communications, bank accounts, and password databases. And if you think of a skeleton key, it's a kind of deep key was used 100 years ago, okay, to unlock doors. Basically, one skeleton key can unlock many different doors. But the point is, that's how advanced quantum computers will be. They will be able to hack into, because they'll be able to run all the permutations to get past the firewalls, the passwords, for every database. And this is why every nation is fighting to develop a quantum computer before any other nation does. And I know we live day to day, and everybody has struggles, problems. People are focused on politics. Who's the president? Who controls Congress? What I'm talking about goes much beyond political parties, okay? We have a section on our website titled What Christians Need to Know. If you're a Christian, you know you should expect persecution in the last days. But you always can wonder in the back of your mind, how will governments be able to get the kind of control over people to eventually create global governance, a one-world government? And the answer is in biometrics. That is what is common right now to every country in the world, the same standard for collection, retention, and sharing. And people need to understand, if you oppose whoever's in office today and you go out and dissent, your photographs or your facial image, more accurately, is being stored in databases identifying you as a potential person of interest, even if you are only exercising your constitutional rights. We have failed horribly. Professor Laura Donahue at Georgetown Law School wrote a paper called Remote Biometric Identification. Remote Biometric Identification. In that paper, she says, remote biometric identification is not different in terms of degrees. It's different in kind. In other words, this is something unlike we ever imagined would happen. Yeah, you could go back and talk about 1984 and George Orwell. I'm talking about what exists today.
Well, look at the iPhone 10. include that in iPhone 10. That's why their sales are down. People are starting to pull back. Even if you're not a Christian, they're saying, hey, I don't know if I want this. You point the phone at yourself and press the button, and you can do an Apple Pay based on your face, not even putting your bank IDs in. It's scary stuff.
Whether a person is a Christian or not, if you just believe it's the overreach of the federal government and has nothing to do with Christianity, this still should concern you.
Right.
And we can, look, we can be absorbed by what's going on today politically, but we need to start thinking 5, 10, 15 years down the road. We cannot accept the idea that to solve every problem in our country, whether it's illegal immigration or terrorism or welfare fraud, I don't care what the problem is, we cannot rely on biometrics to be the small s savior for all these problems, because in effect what we're doing is giving government, regardless of whether it's a Republican or a Democrat in control, we are giving government the ability to control our lives. Never before in history has there been the political will and technology to create a global system of identification and financial control. Never before. Today, that exists. And it is being done.
Mark, I want you to make a comment, because I know the new FBI director that was put in office, when he was before committee getting his presentations, he said he was more than willing to use biometrics, not only to, quote, make America safe again, but in the process of trying to make America safe, they're going to make everybody enter the cybernetic cage. So the new FBI director is basically not going to use selectively to try to intercept people who are using money, let's say to ISIS, or their biometrics, or their actions with their finances. They want to capture all of us and put us through this sieve so they can capture a few bad actors that can cause us trouble. And I see this as extremely dangerous, don't you?
Well, it is dangerous, and there's a move in our country right now to move from paper ID, in other words, your driver's license, your Social Security card, etc., to what's called digital ID. So all your information would be stored on your smartphone, and you would be able to be authenticated or verified as being who you say you are based on your digital ID.
Yeah, so
we're moving the point I want people to understand is the identification process is being moved from the ID document, like a driver's license or passport, to digital ID, and eventually to on or in your body with the biometrics and RFID chips.
Exactly. Now, what you're saying is, I'm being sarcastic about this, in this transition phase, if you want to put your digital ID in your cell phone, like the digital facial scan of iPhone 10, you can literally make the law that it's a national law to have Velcro attached to your body, your cell phone, so they know where you are to a cubic meter, and a digital identification that can link it to your biometrics that can scan and prove you're you with your particular iPhone. So just like a lot of time they want to have biometric verification that you're actually making an order, say, on Amazon or putting some money in your bank account, this is supposedly going to be sold to us as a way to make us safe again. And like it says in the book of Hosea and the book of Acts, when you shall safety and security is upon us, then destruction shall come upon us suddenly. And I think that we have to look at the ID as the straw that breaks the cybernetic back. The population is literally marching like lemmings over the cliff, or they're sheep braying around the side corner of an abattoir about to be slaughtered, and they don't realize if they're captured in the system, whether it's Bitcoin or some cryptocurrency linked up to biometrics, the government or the global government will have total control of you. They will not buy or sell, save you, have this mark system. That's coming quickly, isn't it?
And I want people to understand it like this. Our government was based on the consent of the governed.
Right.
Never before, to be able to bank or work or fly, were we required to provide our biometrics to the government. With the Legal Workforce Act, the Photo Identification Security Act, the Real ID Act, what we now have is a situation where the governed, being the people, are going to have called permission, approval, consent of government to be able to bank, travel, work, etc. So we've turned what was the basis for our Constitution, the consent of the governed, into now being the governed requiring the consent of government. And when you do that, you leave yourself open to complete control by government over people.
Right. In other words, our government in America is unique among all countries in the modern world. Our consent gives authority to our elected officials as our employees to do things on our behalf, not the other way around. Yeah. This reverses that whole process. Very important. So, Mark, we're going to have you back on. I'll find out next week what time we can get you back on regularly to continue expanding this. But these hearings are coming forward. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact. And it's right up where our nose is right up against the window now. So this is no longer able to be disputed. It's ugly, it's nasty, and it's coming quickly.
Dr. Bell, I want to say one last thing.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.